Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by
Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
I can't speak.
How are you doing?
We're joined by Japan's top enthusiast from the UK.
Yeah.
I've bungled my intro. That's what's happened here.
Hello,
guys.
Still jet-lagged. Still completely out
what's
of it.
What's going on?
I'm all right. Christopher. So. I mean, I will say that you started that recording that you won't be hearing the listeners at home or wherever you may be, might be outside. You won't be hearing Chris start the show by going, "What was that? What the fuck was that?" And then he goes, "Welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast." And I was like, well, now I'm on edge that something might be out of the frame of what I can see on my screen. Something crazy might be happening. You know, something absolute. Oh, I tell you what, when I was in Costa Rica, Chris, you know, like I've been in Japan a few times and I've never experienced an earthquake. I half didn't experience an earthquake.
What does that even mean?
Well,
I
just didn't experience an earthquake, but I could have done because I was in the pool at the hotel and I was flopping around, and I got out, and the woman who was next to us went, "Did you just experience that earthquake?" I went, "What?" I was there, and I had the chance to experience a little tremor because I've never experienced one before. But I was in the pool, so and it's hard to sort of. It's hard to sort of gauge what an earthquake is when you're in a pool, really. Oh, the water's jiggled around a bit. That's all it does. It's a jiggle monster.
There's some really cool footage of the Fukushima earthquake from last year where there's like a guy in a bath and the bath is just looks like it's turning into a tide pool, like a tidal wave pool, and it's just like swishing from side to side. So I'd kind of picture that happening, but I'm guessing the earthquake wasn't big enough to turn it into like a whirlpool or to like actually create waves, right? When you were there.
No, it was it was very much just a little that's it.
If you're wondering, I didn't answer why I looked behind me and went, "Oh, what's that?" a minute ago. It's basically just the cat. There's a cat behind me.
Cat doing stuff.
There's been a cat sitting behind me. Maro the cat has been sitting on a shelf, concealed from view, for the last half an hour. Mm. And all of a sudden, I heard something rustling, and I was like, "What the fuck is that?" A real jump scare. And I looked down. His little face was there, and he looked up at me, and he went, "Meow." And that was it.
Tell him about Japan. Try and get him on the podcast.
Good luck.
Have a good show, Chris. I sound like Skeletor. Have a good show, Chris.
This cat, Maro's like bilingual. He can speak, I think trilingual. He can speak Japanese, Korean, and English.
Can he now?
So, for example,
lovely.
If I say it's playtime, he sort of looks up at me and wags his tail with delight because he's his favourite thing.
Yeah.
If you say treat in English, he'll be delighted again.
Right.
If you say kaja in Korean, that means stop it, like get out now.
Stop it, get out now.
Kaja, kaja. And he'll like back off and he'll back away. It's incredible. Like, he knows so many words. He's such a multilingual genius.
Oh.
He knows more languages than I do. Lucky bastard.
What a clever little cat.
Wish I knew some Korean. I don't know anything.
I know.
What?
Hachang shuo deo.
What?
Which I think might be where's the toilet. I think it is. Hachang shuo deo.
Of course it is.
I think it is.
The and one phrase Pete Dawson knows.
And the classic Anyang Hazeo.
God. Yeah, it's a cool language. I'd love to learn it.
Yeah.
But Pete and I have just got back from our trips around the world. I've got back from a little drip. Christ, fucking jet lag. I got back from a journey around the world.
Wearing Christ's drip. I'm just wearing a big robe. And Chris, you gave your recommendation, Tokyo Vice, that you watched all the way through.
Last week
on the flight. And I didn't give mine. Instead of watching, I wanted to watch the film Bros, which is it Billy Eichner who wrote that one? It's basically a kind of a gay rom-com, basically, and it's notable because there aren't many of those out there, certainly coming out in Hollywood. It didn't do very well first couple of weeks, and I think the writer basically said it's because the straight people didn't come out, and then the gay people went, there's enough of us to make a success, don't worry about it, mate. Maybe you just didn't like your film. It was all right. That was absolutely fine. But the TV show that I want to talk about, Flatbush Mr. Bean... No, not Mr. Bean. Flatbush Misdemeanors. I think it was based off a YouTube series or whatever. But it's basically a very rough and ready sort of light sort of sitcom. Two guys just trying to thrive in their new surroundings of Flatbush in Brooklyn. And it's really difficult. The place is a bit of a dump and it's dangerous and frightening. But it's really fucking funny. And although it's clearly written by this a guy called Kevin Esau and Dan Perlman, and they are both in it, and you sort of get the feeling that one of the characters can't act that all that well, but it still works in spite of it, if you know what I mean.
The character can't act.
The actor can't act very well. So it's Dan Perlman. I think the show's excellent. He sort of delivers his lines quite stiffly, but I think that's kind of its charm. Fucking brilliant. Flatbush Misdemeanors. I watched the first season on the plane. Don't know what happens in the second season. It might be terrible. But fantastic stuff. Two thumbs up. If you've watched it, well done you. If you haven't, have a look.
I've actually got a recommendation on the plane as well as binge watching Tokyo Vice, which, as I said last week, guys, definitely give it a watch. It's one of the better Western TV shows/movies made in Japan, recent memory. I also watched a film called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Have you heard of that?
Nicolas Cage, yes. That was a lot of fun.
Pedro Pascal. It's pretty cool watching Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage basically plays himself. It's about him being a washed-up actor as himself in real life. I don't know how serious to take that. Like, I know Nicolas Cage's career has been a rather bizarre career the last 10 years. He's made some pretty good films, but this is really good fun. And Pedro Pascal was brilliant as always. He's on having a bit of a home run at the moment after The Last of Us and The Mandalorian and Game of Thrones and everything that he's in. I don't know how he keeps picking the right projects. Not so sure about Wonder Woman. Maybe Wonder Woman was a bit of a mistake. He's in Wonder Woman 2. We can forget that one. He was a side character. It doesn't matter. He's got untrammeled. He's got a perfect record as Pedro Pascal. And Unbearable Weight, Massive Talent. If you're a Nicolas Cage fan, growing up in the 90s, Nicolas Cage was everything from Face Off and Con Air to, what was that other one? The Rock. Remember The Rock with Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Breaking into Alcatraz.
Ghost Rider.
That was a classic.
And Skull for Head.
Yeah. 8mm or 9mm? Can't remember.
10mm.
I really like what's the one where he's an arms dealer? Lord of War. That's
right,
a cracking
good
film.
Yeah.
Lord of War.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
That's a banger.
Check
it out. You'll love it.
Couple other recommendations from the plane that we didn't get to last week. Washing your hands.
It's going to be a podcast.
Go in the toilet and wash your hands. Have a bit of orange juice. Just two things you might want to try. Not on a plane. Wash your hands. Do a poo. Just have a bit of orange juice. I mean, if you've never tried orange juice, it is available off planes. So just enjoy, guys.
It's just not the same, though, is it? It's not the same. Good to have orange. I did have orange juice on the first opening 5 minutes of my flight back to Japan as well. It was wonderful. But there you go. Film recommendations. That could be a good podcast. Just people on planes, what they've watched, what they've seen on a flight, explained and described. I don't know. If I was going to ever set up another podcast, I probably would be about films, but I feel like you do need to think a bit more critically, and I'm not sure I do that. Me just going, oh, I like that scene with the gun. It's
like
good,
this.
Isn't it? When Nicolas Cage shot the wall. It was brilliant. It was good, but the action scene was just, CGI was different. It wasn't very good. I've got to watch Avatar 2. Everyone, yeah. I've had a few friends who've seen it. They said, I had a friend, my editor Dave, who was like, I hate Avatar, I'm never going to see it. Yeah. Then he went and saw it.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's quite good, actually. It's got CGI, and it looks good. It's revolutionary. And maybe it is. It probably is. James Cameron's very good at taking things up a notch. But I just don't feel that that's a good enough reason for me to see a movie. I never really have. Like, do you remember when Ghost in the Shell came out with Scarlett Johansson? And it got some criticism because her character was whitewashed to Dickens, but everyone, it was a shit film as well. It was a real shame because the original anime, incredible, one of the best like anime films of all time, and then the live action version was just shit. It was so bad, and everyone was like, but the CGI is brilliant. It's like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care how good the world looks if there's nothing to cling on to, if there's no interesting characters to hold on to. It's just worthless. And it was a real shame. Yeah, a real shame.
Yeah.
Don't know what I'm ranting about now. But yeah, that's the takeaway. Don't go and watch Ghost of the Shell. Watch Tokyo Vice and The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. We've got a story from Andreas from Denmark who begins, hello, Chris the Cleric and Pete the Paladin. I'm a Danish university student who's going on an exchange semester in Japan soon, which I'm very much looking forward to. In 2019... I was doing some touristy travelling around Japan by myself. On the fateful day, I was walking down a path next to the Monkey Mountain in Arashiyama, Kyoto, Pete Dolson's favourite. Approaching me were three Japanese people, no less, two girls and a guy, who looked to be in their mid-20s. As we passed each other, they stopped me and started talking to me in broken English. The conversation was very short and meaningless, pointing at the Monkey Mountain and saying banana and monkey while making monkey noises. What the fuck? I was taken a bit aback, as I didn't really understand their reason for stopping me. They didn't even ask where I was from, where I was from, or compliment me on my height or anything else. It was straight into the monkey sounds. After an awkward minute of nonsense, one of the girls held out her hand to say goodbye. I took it to shake it, but she quickly pulled it to her face and licked my fucking hand.
Yeah.
I was too stunned to say or do anything other than just power walk away to the nearest water source in order to wash off this stranger's saliva.
Yeah.
Certainly, having told this story to various people, including Japanese people, no one has had quite the same experience, and I don't think it's part of Japanese culture. Maybe it's a local tradition, or maybe I met the one and only Monkey Mountain hand licker in the world. In any case, I didn't have any similar experiences and hope to be free of non-consensual hand licking during my exchange semester. Love the podcast, guys. All the best. Andreas from Denmark. Violated by a Japanese girl. That's very weird. Don't know how to feel about that.
That's so strange.
What was
and
going
like,
on?
I would like it. It sounds very much like a bit of a joke and a bit of a power play. Just don't like.
Maybe Andreas looked delicious. Look delicious.
He thought he was delicious. Yeah.
It could have gone worse. They could have licked your hand, Andreas, and then just eaten it and just taken a bite out of the hand.
Get it back there.
The start like, of a fucking movie.
Or like kind of like, what are those kind of like ice lollies that are like fuzzy feet or whatever? Do you remember those ice lollies that were like, they're like they're sweet kind of ice lollies, but they're in the shape of a, in the shape of a foot. Maybe she just had too many of those. No.
What? I don't know. Yeah. I'm glad. I mean, that was not too. That was kind of around the same time we were there, about a few months after. So, you know, we could have bumped into the Monkey Mountain hand licker ourselves, and that would have been quite a fun addition to the video, to be honest. That was such a ridiculous video Pete and I did in Kyoto. Some people go and see the temples and the shrines and the history and the culture. We went and looked at a monkey. And then we went to a really decrepit street and looked at some dodgy statues. To be fair, it was quite fun. And a chronically underrated video. It did really badly, that video.
Did it?
Because nobody cares about monkeys, right? For a title of a video, you've got to have something powerful.
Really? And I had no idea that. I'm going to go, I'm fuming. Absolutely fuming.
Yeah, I don't know. It might have breached a million views now. You never know.
I was
to be
I
fair.
Was, yeah, yeah, go on.
When a video doesn't do well on abroad in Japan, it still tends to do quite well. So
eventually,
I'm
being ruthless, I've been doing a bit of stuff with our wrestling show YouTube channel, trying to get people watching that, and I found that it's quite Reddit's quite a good useful resource to get people watching your videos, certainly in the wrestling space anyway. And I got kicked out of the biggest wrestling Reddit because I posted about the videos too many times, and the mod said I was spamming, and then so I went in his post history and found a lot of his posts that are just him in a Lego forum posting pictures of his Millennium Falcon he's made out of Lego. I'm like, sorry, what's the difference here? I've made something. I want you to watch it. You've made something. You want the people on the Lego forum to watch it. What's the difference? And then he banned me immediately because you're not allowed to go through people's post history to point out absolute hypocrisy. Oh. Fucking Lego head.
Pete Donaldson, the thug and the school playground bully of Reddit.
To be honest, I knew he was going to get rid of me. I knew he was going to get rid of me. And there's no use for me, but I didn't want to be there if I could spam about my videos.
but you've got to be careful on Reddit. You're not allowed to post your own videos ever. And I used to be really lucky. No one does it now. Mm. But back when I started doing Abroad in Japan, every video was posted on Reddit by someone.
I had a little bit of a
fan club on there. And, you know, we had a lot of viral success from that. Mm. And then nobody did it anymore. And my channel went down the toilet. And I died at the end.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. Please, if somebody's listening, please post the Abroad Japan videos to Reddit. I'm not allowed to do it, and I can't really, you know, I can't get my colleagues to do it. So
I'll get fired out. What's the forum that's really successful? Just forum/Japan.
They would post it to the Reddit videos page, right? And videos used to be the really big deal. I don't know if anyone watches the Reddit videos page as much anymore.
Who goes to Reddit/videos?
Well, just videos.
Just random videos. You got enough. I mean, that's what the algorithm's for. That's what your personal algorithm is for.
Yeah. Now, the trick to go on Reddit is just go and look at the page. What could possibly go wrong?
Where people wheel a bicycle
off a mountainside. Anyway, enough about Reddit. What's the story of the week, Mr. Donaldson? What's going on in the wacky world of Japan?
Oh, we got a message. We got a new story. I'm just lost me blummin' page, to be honest. And helpfully, the wonderful Chris Broad has just popped off to deal with a cat, I believe. So I'm just going to fill for a second.
I'll let the cat out of my room. The new story of the week. This is a great title. Japanese makers of Tropicana are fined 19 million yen, which is probably about $5. 19 million yen, what is that? I'm going to say it's about $150,000.
Yeah.
They're fined 19 million yen for 100% melon juice that only has actually 2% melon juice.
And good God. And this isn't like your mom and pop setup. This is Tropicana. 100%.
It's not Natsuki's bathtub.
It's not Natsuki's bathtub moonshine. This is Tropicana, who has a product in Japan that is called Tropicana 100% whole fruit melon taste, which you would presume was made of 100% melon by the name. In fact, you would presume that melon is all that's in there. Apparently, this product contains only 2% actual melon juice. 2% melon juice. With 98% of the rest of it being made up of banana, grape and apple. and it's just like, they just need to stop doing this, because 100% melon taste... I don't know. I mean, I guess they're basically saying if you're tasting it, there's 100% melon taste in there. Do you know what I mean? You would sort of say, if I drank that and you said to me, Pete, what would you say it was in there 100%, and I go, well, I can taste melon, so 100% melon taste.
That's really quite sneaky. Oh my god.
Maybe 100% melon taste is disgusting. Imagine actually 100% of melon. You're like, yeah, we didn't want this. This is disgusting. This absolutely
fucking melon at that point.
Yeah,
though.
It's just a melon.
Just
I
a
know.
Melon.
I know.
You would just
it
open
would probably
the
just
drink
go off,
and a piece of melon would just plop out into your mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, but I mean, the fact it's they've clearly done this thinking, oh, this is clever. Let's make people think this is 100%. But then it's just 2%. That's barely any melon at all.
That's barely... How strong is melon? Yeah, how strong is... Is it really... If it's 2% of the carton, is that kind of bit of melon really, really strong? It's like sort of like just distilled to a really, really strong figure. I don't know. It's an amazing situation, though. Really, really fun stuff.
Now, Tropicana is owned by Kirin in Japan, like one of Japan's biggest drinks companies. So they're in the firing line. Tropicana is owned by Pepsi, right, outside of Japan, if I'm not mistaken. PepsiCo?
Right, okay.
Pepsi would never do anything like this.
No.
A far more honourable company.
No way.
Fine company indeed. Frito-Lay or whatever they're called these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who despises all things melon, this is never a problem I'm never going to get into. I just imagine the millions of people up and down Japan every morning sticking the straw in, being like, ah, wait a
melon.
Minute. That's not 100% melon at all. That's barely 10%
that's
melon.
That's at least 98% melon. I think...
Oh, God.
What? I mean, wait until the Japanese find out how much melon's in melon ban. Oh, my God, they're going to be fucking fuming. This isn't even 1% melon.
God's sake. I don't know what the obsession with melons are in Japan. Like, for example, you know, the melon pan, which is melon bread.
Yeah.
Bread filled with
melon
cream and melon flavour. I don't get that. Why does that need to be a thing? Curry pan, like bread filled with curry, I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But melon, the most anemic, boring fruit in the world. Prove me wrong. I like watermelon, though. Watermelon's good. And there is a difference. There's a big difference.
There is. I mean, if I was going to choose, I had massive access in Costa Rica on my holiday to papaya, bit of like sort of honeydew melon and also the watermelon, and I just love watermelon. I think it was the I hadn't had watermelon until I was about 20, and the only watermelon I tasted as a child, a youngster in the northeast, was when Jolly Ranchers first came over. Jolly Ranchers. there was a watermelon flavour Jolly Rancher, and it's just like very peppery sort of strong flavour, and it was a revelation to me, and then I finally managed to get hold of some actual watermelon, and never look back, Chris.
And just look at Pete Donaldson now, running his 45 podcasts. It was the power of melon.
Yeah.
To be fair, I do eat a lot of watermelons. They are good, aren't they? They are good.
Yes,
when I think melon's just cantaloupe, isn't it? Like the standard sort of melon, cantaloupe, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Cantaloupe, honeydew. Yeah. I don't know. There's lots of different kinds, isn't there? Ugh, gross. They're the ones you see. But cantaloupe's the ones you see in Japan when they say, you know, melon bear and stuff. Or is that a watermelon? I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
No,
you see
that's
a
cantaloupe. Yeah,
yeah.
Melon bear.
Nice.
Good old melon bear.
Nice.
I'm off to Hokkaido in just a handful of days, and I'm going to keep an eye out for melon bear, or I'm certainly going to keep an eye out for real bears. Although I think they'll be hibernating, right? Bears will be hibernating, so it should
be
all right.
They might have heard about you eating some of their friends recently.
Well,
you're kicking off.
The story behind Melon Bear, which, if you haven't seen, guys, is the greatest mascot, our favourite mascot in Japan. Mm. It's just a bear with a melon for a head. The story goes that Hokkaido brown bear sunk his teeth into the delicious, mouth-watering Yubari melon, Yubari King melon, the world's most expensive melon, often costing about $200 per melon, and was so enamoured by the flavour of the melons that the bear turned into Melon Bear. And go and look it up,
guys.
It's fucking horrible. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Oh, wait, then.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got from our listeners this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We got a message from Owen. Hello, Cataclysmic Chris and Pregnant Pete. I just found out that my brother will be competing in the Diving World Championships in Fukuoka in July. Whoa. And I will be going on this trip with him. Do you have any recommendations of attractions or locations worth checking out in Fukuoka? Thanks for all the contact, guys, and keep up the good work. Delicious, delicious news.
That's amazing. That's yeah. So cool. Diving World Championship. That's badass. I wouldn't have thought, I'd never have thought that I'd be hosted in Fukuoka. Like, Fukuoka's nice. It's got a good bit of sea and whatnot. It's
lovely,
a coastal town. Lovely bit of sea.
Lovely bit of sea.
But I didn't think diving. I wonder why. But awesome.
It's
Enjoy
a coastal
it.
Town.
What better way to celebrate diving than some local Hakata ramen, tonkotsu pork broth. Very thick, very creamy, very delicious. Don't go to Ichiran. Don't do what everyone else does. Don't go there. Go to somewhere else. Just don't go to Ichiran.
Don't feed up on Nishitetsu. Is that the night market in Tenjin? Is that the kind of night market?
Oh yeah,
yeah, Nishitetsu.
Yeah.
Don't fill up on that because you'll dive either too well or not well enough. You'll be too heavy.
A few pints of Japanese whiskey and 100% watermelon juice, and you'll be ready to go, mate. Yeah. But yeah, no, the Ataimura town stands, the little stalls alongside the river, are really nice. I was recently there with Connor, and we went to an airsoft gun bar where we got drunk and fired various ridiculous rifles. Yeah. That was actually really fun. Check that out. Just type in airsoft gun bar Fukuoka. It's actually about a 5-minute walk from the Ataimura. So go to Ataimura, have some dinner, have some yakitori, have some drinks, hop over to the airsoft place, shoot off some rifles at a wall, and then have some ramen. But just not Ichiran.
No.
You're not an Ichiran fan, are you?
I mean, I get confused, to be honest, about all the brands. I'll walk in, over order, and then just sort of want to go to sleep, to be honest.
It's all right. We got one here from Otto. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. No crazy adjectives here." An odd one out. It's a rarity. "I'm a young guy from Sweden that loves to tune into the podcast in bed before going to sleep, dreaming."
Oh, go to
Quite
sleep.
Quite literally
Otto.
Dreaming of Japan.
Go to sleep. Shh. Calm.
He's drifting off. Wake him up. Oh,
murderer
God.
At your window.
Horrible. Do you have recommendations for good onsen hot springs near Narita or Haneda Airport that are of good enough quality for an authentic Japanese experience, or are there the only good ones out on the countryside hours from Tokyo and only accessible by car? Ooh. Best wishes, Otto." I am afraid I do not know, Otto. What I will say is if... Yeah, I think if there's probably some in Narita. And Narita is technically the countryside. Narita's about an hour east of Tokyo, whereas Haneda's in a on an artificial island on the coast of Tokyo, and I don't think there's any there. There used to be a really good... There used to be a good onsen near Haneda called Oedo Onsen, but unfortunately it closed. But no, Narita, just type in like onsen near Narita, and there should be quite a few around there because it is the countryside. Mm. And also, failing that, there are public baths, Sento, which you can go to as well. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't really know. You don't know, do you, Pete?
No, not a bloody true. Not a bloody true.
Useless, mate. Useless. But no, there's a few around Narita. Just give it a cheeky Google and I'm sure some will come up. Got one last one from M who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I'll be interviewing for the JET programme in a few weeks and had a few questions. I've heard a lot about the views on tattoos in Japan, but what about piercings? Are nose piercings also considered taboo? How about regular ear piercings? Are there any cities in Japan that are more progressive and open-minded about both? Any insight is greatly appreciated. Hope you're both well. Best, M from the US." Tattoos shouldn't really be an issue as long as they're concealable, like they're on your arms or back, or you could, you know, just put a shirt over them and hide them. You know, I knew a guy who had full arm-length tattoos, and he just wore a shirt and kept them hidden at all times. Ear piercings are fine. Nose piercings are not fine, so far as I know. I would recommend hiding that the day of the interview. Yeah, just
and then
lie.
Popping it back in when you turn up, yeah.
And with the tattoos, yeah, I'd encourage hiding them, to be honest. I'm sure they're not. It's not actually a written rule that tattoos equals not getting on the JET programme, but I feel like they might be a bit unfavourable.
Mm.
I actually met a friend who was working for the JET program as a as an interviewer, and he told me all the secrets to how to get on the JET program.
Oh, that's
apparently
interesting.
Secrets revealed with Abroad in Japan.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you have any, you show any knowledge of learning Japanese.
Okay.
That's it. Like that.
Top the tree.
That's the most powerful thing you can have.
Really?
And you don't even have to demonstrate that you really know it. Yeah, just turn up and be like, "Oh, Pete Des.
I've bought Japanese for Dummies. Oh, this old thing. Just a little book, a little dictionary. Oh, this old thing.
Well, that's what I do.
Hang it off your Pearson."
Well, I wrote that I'd had some classes in Japanese, which I had, right. To be fair. Yeah. I had a few. But I'd learnt fuck all. I'd learnt nothing. And it was rubbish and it weren't good. But I put it down anyway and they sort of said, "Oh, are you learning Japanese?" I went, "Yeah." They didn't test me on it, thank God.
Okay.
And I think that would have been like, "Oh, 10 points. Put that on, you know, 10 points." But he said they tested one guy who was like, "Yeah, I'm learning Japanese."
Hmm.
And they tested him and he was just shit. He couldn't speak any Japanese at all. But they still gave him the points. Like, apparently they still gave you
just
points.
You've
shown you've done something, right?
You've said that you need to tell a big lie.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote in my application that I read a book about wabi-sabi Buddhist, the art of impermanence and all this bollocks. And they asked me what it was. And I went, "Oh, it's too difficult to explain, isn't it? Wabi-sabi." And the guy tested me and went, oh, yeah, Naruhodo. I agree, it's difficult.
This is just all nonsense, isn't it? It's just absolutely...
You're just bitter. You didn't get on.
Bluffing
you put
your
Tokyo
tickets
down.
Left, right and centre.
What I found is three people I know who didn't get on, who are all very quite overqualified. You, my good friend Nick, who's a genius, and also Ludwig, one of the world's biggest streamers, a good friend. All three of you didn't get on. All three of you put Tokyo down on your application.
I didn't. I put Kobe, so have a bit of them. Have one of them.
Oh, fuck.
Have one of them
right.
Fingers.
Well, I put Kobe down as well.
Did you?
Why did you put Kobe down? Why did you put it down?
Just like the sound of it. I just like the sound of it, to be honest.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. And I fucked it because I'm rubbish.
Right, that's why you didn't get on.
Not a big game player.
Well, at least I had a reason for going to Kobe. I said I wanted the Wagyu beef. If you just went, "Oh, it sounds good," then yeah, I'd have thrown your application in the bin, to be honest. Jesus.
Easy spelling it, four letters.
Oh dear. Yeah. Neither Peter nor I ended up in Corbett. We did go there and have a nice bit of Wagyu beef and roll around in a park. It was good fun. I'm sure we'll be back again soon.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, Em, though. All the best. Mm. And remember to, at the very least, lie about knowing Japanese. Honestly, the JET program, the amount of people that get through who probably shouldn't, the amount of people I met who I wondered how the fuck they passed an application process. Speaking to my friends and how they screened them, it's very much weighted for... Yeah, I'll go into it another time. It's a rant for another occasion, but point is, just get those nose piercings out for the interview and just say, Watashiwa Emi des, America Jin des.
Play the game. Once you've signed the contract, you're over there. It's a lot harder to get rid of it. That's all I'm saying.
Just,
all right?
Yeah, just don't speak any Japanese at all. Yeah. Just make it a point. Just be I'm through now. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do all over again, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now. Have a good one.
Bye.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.